Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, my whizzes, and welcome to episode 238 of the Food Biz Whiz podcast. Today's episode is an especially sweet one as we have visionary CEO and co-founder of Kube, Kai Norty, joining us. Kube is a Black woman-owned, artisanal, vegan, full-fat coconut ice cream womanfacturer and social enterprise. Kai is the visionary and socially conscious Black woman business leader who is behind Kube and who is tenaciously leading inclusive and regenerative food systems in the Oakland Bay Area of California. Kai believes that there must be a paradigm shift away from supporting big broken food companies that consciously use synthetic chemical bleaching preservatives and GMO ingredients. Kai has done amazing work at building her business in a way that works for her and that supports her vision of a more just food system. There is so much more that Kai has done and does that I am excited for listeners to hear. So let's start straight away. I'm Allie Ball, former grocery buyer and retail store manager turned wholesale consultant. In my role on the retail floor, I saw delicious, values-driven brands fail on our shelves simply because they didn't understand the behind-the-scenes of wholesale. I created the Food Biz Whiz podcast to give you hard-to-access insight from my career in the food industry and the tools and strategies to help you succeed on retail shelves. If you're a committed food founder who's looking to create and grow a packaged products business that positively impacts our food system, puts wealth back into your own hands, and employs members of your local community, you have found the right podcast. Let's do this. Hey, my whizzes, and welcome to episode 238. I know I mentioned this in the intro, but I'm truly so excited to have Kai on the show with me today. Kai is a Retail Ready alumnus, and I have been so honored and so much in admiration of watching Kube's growth over the past few years. And as we were putting together this show lineup under the theme of building a business that works for you, Kai was one of the very first people who came to mind for me. She not only has built a business that works for her, but also serves to bring her about her vision for a more just food system locally here in the Bay Area. There's so much that I didn't get to say in the intro. There's so much to say about Kai and Kube. So Kai, let's get right into it. Welcome to the Food Biz Whiz podcast.
Yes, thank you, Allison. I'm really happy to be here. I'm really happy to really shed some light and transparency on this industry that a lot of people don't want to talk about. We all have high moments and low moments, you know, peaks and valleys. But we also have resiliency and we have beauty. And I just thank the God and just the Most High God and the ancestors for allowing me to really do what I love to do and to make beauty every day. Every day, I love making Kube ice cream. Okay, it is very sensual, y'all. Like,
tell us about the ice cream. So do you officially call it nice cream?
So it is nice cream. I call it nice cream because it's nice to the belly and the waistline, and it's good fat. It's cold pressed, mature organic coconut cream that we make purely here from organic mature coconuts from Colima, Mexico. And so we make our own cream the way our ancestors have done, the way our African ancestors, Caribbean ancestors, Indian, Asian, Pacific Islander ancestors have always done before big capitalists took it over and started adding chemicals to it. They add bleaching chemicals. So we'll go into that a little later. I have so much to say. I could run on forever, but I'm trying to stay focused.
Yeah. So I first heard about Kube in 2018 at Food Funded in San Francisco.
That's right.
Yeah. I can't remember, Kai, if it was you or your partner who was on stage.
Yeah, pitching. It was me pitching, but I want to say were pitching. 2017.
Actually. Okay. Maybe 2017.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was like the December of 2017 or November, something like that. Or maybe it was summer. I can't remember, but I know it was 2017 for a reason. But I was pitching on stage And I remember sampling. I had support from folks in the community to help me sample, and people loved it. They were just like, wow, like it's
it
so
was
creamy.
Incredible. Incredible. Yeah. So I tried it. I saw you on stage. You had such stage presence.
Oh, thank
you were you were so good on stage. And I was like,
oh,
man,
you.
This product has legs, right? Like this is it. And then you did Food Funded again in 2020,
oh,
correct?
Wait, did I do it again?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't remember.
What is time?
Oh, did I do it again? Because
I think you did it again, and I think you won.
Gosh, this is weird because I don't feel like I did it again. I feel like it was during. You're right, but it was the reason why I can't remember is because it was during COVID, and I was like,
right. Oh, so it was online.
It was online.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, but we didn't receive anything. I think it was like a ticket to the expo or whatever, but that was like just to go, and I didn't go. I didn't even receive. It was during COVID. That's why.
So
I was going to go actually, but because remember they had to cancel it in March, all that kind of
thing. Yes. All of that. Yes. March 2020. Okay. So you, and then I remembered. So then you enrolled in Retail Ready in very late 2020 you were just dipping your toes into retail, like trying to figure out if it was right for you or not.
Right.
Right. Learning all the things.
Right. So I want to go back a little bit and just really help people understand like who we are. So Kube PBC stands for Public Benefit Corporation. So Kube PBC is a Black woman-owned, vegan, artisanal, premium, vegan, full-fat coconut ice cream, okay? So that's who we are. We are B2B and B2C. We have like a hybrid business model of B2B, B2C. So we're at farmers markets. We sell to the Hyatt Regency Hotel as a preferred vegan ice cream for the Hyatt in San Francisco. We are at Berkeley Bowl West. We used to be in Rainbow Grocery. We took ourselves out of there because we felt like we were disrespected in many ways. We'll go into that later.
I'd love to.
We do corporate events. So we've done events at Uber, Facebook, Clover. There's so many more. LinkedIn. I said that already. Facebook, Google. Like a lot of these other.
Yeah, the big companies in the Bay Area.
Other tech conferences. There's other smaller Kiva chocolates, all different kind of companies, and that has kind of gone down. So we've had to pivot our business away because all the tech companies were laying off people kind of like last year and this year. So we've had to pivot and look to restaurants to sell our product to. And we also sell our own product at farmers markets to make sure that we retain our, profit margins.
Yeah.
And so I took your class in 2020 because I wanted to dip and dabble and research more about the consumer packaged goods industry, the CPG industry, and to really listen and learn about, you know, what were other entrepreneurs experiencing? And I heard a lot there. But I'm going to let you guide this conversation because there's so much. There's so many variables. I also took Sandra Velasquez's class, Distribution 101, that was also really good.
Yeah, that was a great program.
Yeah.
She's no longer doing that because her
company has
been so successful. She's got to focus on her own beauty brand. But
taking both of your classes were extremely helpful because I am a student of life. I have a growth mindset and I want to really focus and help people understand that if you want to be good at what you do and you want to be resilient and you want to solve problems in life, you need coaching. We all need business coaching, just like the famous athletes out there. They always have a coach. Steph Curry has a coach. Serena Williams had a coach all the time. These are famous athletes, right? There are CEOs who have coaches and they don't always tell you. Never allow this industry to make you feel shame. This industry will make you feel shame. It can try to make you feel shameful for not getting all the funding and having a phenomenal product like we have. I have sat in the office with Ben and Jerry's ice cream, Ben and Jerry, okay, in Vermont in 2017, asking them to invest, asking them to introduce me to other people. Let me tell y'all, I have met the big wigs in this industry of dairy and non-dairy ice cream who love what I'm making and who thought that my only existence was to somehow be serving their existence. because a lot of these capitalists, like Ben and Jerry, like Unilever, like all these other big companies in dairy ice cream and non-dairy ice cream companies, they look to me as I'm playing in their sandbox. And so they want to see how they can capitalize off of me or hire me to work in their plant-based food company. So I've had other investors and CEOs of their own plant-based food companies ask me and tell me and say, oh my God, Kube is amazing. I'm sure it must be hard that you're doing this all on your own. Why don't you come work for me? I can pay you a high salary in product development and you can make this brand for our company and we'll change the name. And I said, no, that's a conflict of interest. You should invest in me and what I'm doing because I'm building the inclusive and restorative food justice economy of the future. And I have a plan for that. And then they say, oh, my money is so caught up in my own company. I can't invest, but I can hire you. Right. And I say, no, that's a conflict of interest. And so you have to be careful in this industry because these big capitalists will try to corrupt the small, you know, focused, purpose-driven entrepreneur. And let me remind everybody that Kube exists to restore life, health, joy, dignity, and equity back to people, animals, and the soil. The purpose of Kube is to inspire, awaken, and transform people with restorative and regenerative food models. Those are models that do not have chemicals, artificial flavors, that are working with, you know, the ecosystem, other business owners in the plant-based ecosystem, or it doesn't have to be plant-based, but small business owners, you know, like we work. Yeah. Go ahead. It's just, there's so
I
much.
I hear so much here. I hear so much that economy. I want to unpack and ask questions about. So first off, let me just say, I so appreciate your willingness to acknowledge that we don't, as young entrepreneurs, we don't have all the information and problem solving skills and solutions ourselves. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in asking for help. I think that, you know, I see it all the time in our industry that it's so technical. And we have so many folks who are coming from outside of this industry trying to break in into this, like, you know,
right. They're like, oh, I just want a package of food. I just want to create a food and put it in a package.
Right. Exactly. Like, I've got like, this great idea. Exactly. Everyone loves my product and they say I should sell it. So I'm going to give it a go. And while I love that entrepreneurial spirit, it takes a lot more than just a delicious product line to succeed in this industry.
Right.
This industry that has a lot of secrets and, like you said, a lot of corruption.
Right. And I think it's important for entrepreneurs to take an entrepreneurial course. Like literally, that's what I did. I studied that in graduate school. I have a master's in marketing communications and PR in integrated marketing communications. I took an entrepreneurship class and we studied a lot of small businesses that eventually did get VC funding. And then from there, you know, I just want to say too, I'm lactose intolerant and vegan. So I've loved ice cream ever since I was young. I also grew up with an organic garden. I also studied biology. I was a minor in biology. So I've studied, you know, regenerative soil and composting, and I've done all of that. I still have an organic garden. So like biology, really understanding like your whole plant-based foods. I grew up with collard greens, strawberries, organic corn, like from the seed. My mom is an avid gardener. So for me, it's normal to make your food, normal to make your meals, normal to make your desserts. But I'm just trying to put it all together and say that it's so important that entrepreneurs take accelerator courses or entrepreneurial courses where you talk about what is your purpose? What problem are you solving for people? Is this just a replication? Because let me tell you, there's a lot of non-dairy ice cream. What do we need another one for? So Kube is not just going to create any non-dairy ice cream. I'm going to give you full fat premium non-dairy ice cream. So like my coffee latte has 43 grams of fat in a 5-ounce container. You're never going to get a dairy ice cream or a non-dairy ice cream with 40 grams of fat or 33 grams of fat. So when people taste it, they're like, wow, like it's so creamy and it's like dense and then it dissipates so nicely on the tongue. But the ingredients are real. It's real espresso. I'm using real key lime, limes and key limes. I'm never going to use artificial flavors because those are chemicals. And I know too many people who have cancer in my family or my friends, women getting breast cancer at 35. Like, I just got a mammogram. I'm 45 now, proud to be 45 years young. And I'm in the clear. You know, I'm plant-based. Yeah. I try to encourage people to get off the dairy. The dairy is screwing up our cells. Dairy now is shown to have a relationship that could really cause prostate and breast cancers over time, right? And so I studied this kind of stuff in college. I had oncologists come to my class. So you're talking. So for me, Kai, the CEO and co-founder of Kube, I am an inquisitive person. I have to get down to the truth and to the source. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is this product really needed? What is my purpose? What is the vision? Right? Like, those are questions that every single entrepreneur should go through, but they should go through it in a class.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, I'll say you call yourself a student of life, and I hear it in the way that you speak. You know, one of the things that I admire about you is that constant desire to learn and to see what the industry is all about, and then to choose whether or not you want to go down that path. Right. Like, one of the things I think about Retail Ready is I want folks to take Retail Ready and then decide not to continue with retail or not to continue with their product line. And I'm like, if you do that, you're going to go, you know, you're going to be in this industry eyes wide open. And even if you decide it's not right for you, we've just saved you $250,000.
Hell yeah. Let me tell you, you ain't lying. Like, that is so real. Cause when I took the class, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, okay. So first off, let me just say, before I took your class, I interviewed 10 CEOs in dairy ice cream and non-dairy ice cream. When I was just making this in my home in 2014 on a Breville ice cream machine, and eventually I had three because I was taking orders from friends of friends.
Yep.
And I was doing surveys. I was testing the flavors. You know, like, I was really, I wanted to know, well, what did you really think about this product? And people gave me great advice, and they're like, you nailed this flavor, but I think the chocolate needs to be more chocolate. And I did that. And then I did more surveys. So what I'm saying is you have to refine and refine. And I'm a researcher at heart as well. And I need to know the truth. So I sat down. I can't even tell you everybody I sat down with, but I also sat down with Ben and Jerry's ice cream, Ben and Jerry's. And they loved having their storefront. They loved being in the community. And that was awesome. But they went through a lot. There's a documentary on them too. They went through a lot of distribution issues and revenue cash flow issues. And they had no other choice if they wanted to keep the brand alive, but to sell to Unilever. And I said, well, shit, I don't want to go down that road.
Right.
I really don't want to go down that road and then I talked to another woman founder, like in the East Coast, and she got 2 million or 3 million funding. And she said, Kai, like, all I really wanted was my storefront. And she said, now, like, I have to do what the investors are saying. These VC investors want us to be in Target. Like, we have to scale, scale, scale. We were doing great, she said, with e-commerce. Then they wanted us to scale, scale, scale into Target, Walmart. She's like, we have a high quality product. People aren't going to pay $8.99 or $7.99 there. That's just not where our target audience for the so-called, like, foodie, artisanal foodie is going to buy their artisanal ice cream. Yeah. They're not going to Target for artisanal ice cream. They're going for Unilever and Nestle $3.99 pint or $4.99 pint. They're very, what do we say? Sensitive. What's the word?
Yeah, like price conscious. Yeah.
Price conscious and, you know, cost. I forgot what the term is, but they're very sensitive to pricing.
Yes.
And so I knew, listening to her, she told me, Kai, it doesn't matter how good your product is. If you don't have the right business model, it won't do well. And she was like, everybody, she said they started at farmers markets. People love it. That's what we did. So yeah. like I interviewed and gathered this information, like what is working, what is not working. And she said, we eventually had to close the business. She said after like four or five years. And I could hear a little shame in it, but she was really trying to give me advice and just say, she said, be very wary of these investors because, if you don't hit these numbers every quarter, they'll just say, I'm done. Right. And they don't care about values. And I interviewed other people in the ice cream industry, non-dairy ice cream industry, who felt like the stores weren't keeping their product frozen or weren't putting it on the shelf in time and it's melting. And they were like, you know what? We're just going to have our storefront. When I heard all of these like testimonials from founders, I said, you know what? I'm a community person. I love to engage with my customers. I'm relatable. I'm very positive. I'm like electric energy at the farmer's market. People just flock to me and they love Kube. It sells itself, but they love meeting me, you know, and I love meeting them and we have the best conversations and customers end up being my friends. And I'm like, you know, I think I would do great with a storefront, but I think it'd be stressful as hell.
Yeah. So Kai, like on a high level, what does it mean for you to build a business that works for you?
Yeah. So building a business that works for me was really about raising capital from everyday people like teachers, accountants, attorneys, construction workers. It was about people who believed in me and the community who could see the resilience and the trustworthiness and the passion and purpose for me to deliver a good quality product to the community. And when I say community, I say local economy within like a 200 mile radius. I don't know. Let's just say San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah, San Francisco Bay Area.
But it means like my values are in alignment with what I'm making, right? So I have the value of having an organic garden. I grow my own greens and some of my fruit. It means that I'm going to have those same values transfer into my business, right? And working with local farmers and my compost, my coconut shreds are going to Deep Medicine Farm, which is near Monterey. And so that is a nonprofit and a farm that's by women of color, operated and owned. And they use the compost there to make more regenerative soil to grow more organic food for low-income communities. It means I'm looking at when we're talking about a values purpose-driven business, how am I bringing all my values together, but also saying we need to make money at the same time.
Right.
Right.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It also means that I get to hire formerly incarcerated folks and survivors of domestic violence, mothers and fathers who are in the community of Oakland who need a real wage. Between $21 and $25 an hour. That was really important to me. I was not going to pay minimum wage. I have a high quality product. People will pay, right? I found those hell yes people. I found those hell yeah, I'm going to pay for that product because it's the only product I can have. It doesn't use, you know, white sugar, uses organic light agave and really clean ingredients and organic ingredients. Most of our ingredients are organic. But it means, you know, really, really being able to provide restorative economics. I have a triple bottom line in restorative economics. Like I said, paying folks starting wage $21 an hour and up to $25 an hour. So restorative economics, food justice, right? I talked about food justice, the right to determine healthier food models that are restorative to our livelihood, no chemicals. I also talked about racial and gender equity, a diverse workforce. That's important. Also, environmental sustainability. I talked about the coconut byproducts going back into the soil, right? To create more organic food. So that's what it means to me. And I interviewed so many dairy and non-dairy founders, CEOs, and they said, man, woman, sister, like, nah, the VCs don't care about any of that. Some got ulcers, they got sick. They said they were just working. And if they didn't hit those numbers, those sales numbers, that revenue, they only had a certain amount of time to try to, you know, rectify those numbers. And then otherwise, the investors were like, I'm done. Yeah. This needs to close because you don't want to keep bleeding. You don't want to keep losing money. So I get it. But for them, but for the investors, they would bring in all these people that didn't care about the quality necessarily of the ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I hear you say is in building a business that works for you, it's allowed you to say yes to what's important to you and yes to your values. Yeah. But also on the flip side, it allows you to say no to VC funding.
Right.
No to co-packers.
Right.
No to going and working internally at some of these bigger companies who just want to, you know,
they just want to take my knowledge, our talent. Right. They want to exploit my talent to amass more wealth for their empire.
Yeah.
So they want to make more money, but to my economic detriment. Right.
So
I'm not going to make money to invest in my community and pay my workers more money. They want to take what I'm doing so that they could actually exploit more workers and scale the product and water it down.
And let's be clear, it's positioned and pitched to you as a win, right? Like, hey, Kai, come and work for us. It's so hard for you to do it yourself. We can pay you a great salary
and
you can see your baby, your Kube Nice Cream. You can see your baby get into households across the US under our family of businesses.
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting. I was pretty, I'm not saying any names, but this is somebody who's very, very, very respected in the plant-based food industry that's been around since like the 70s. I don't know when their product first came out, but probably the 80s, maybe the 90s, actually.
We're not going to fact check
this. Anyway, we're not going to,
But so an old school industry veteran.
And then I've had consultants. Remember, I said I do like receiving help from people who've been there and done that.
Yeah.
I had a contract with this individual because there was a point in time, because I am a manufacturer, I wanted to have a small scale manufacturing company.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted about like 5,000 square feet, bigger equipment, but not huge, but like a 300 liter continuous ice cream machine. And Ben and Jerry's, yes, they were supportive in helping me understand the equipment that I needed to get. And they were happy to talk with me about the equipment I needed.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I hired somebody who had been in the industry of food and CPG for a long time. He sold his company and he saw that magnetic, electric, vibrant, joyful energy, but he didn't realize how smart I was. He thought I was just happy all the time. You know, like, and he started, his job was to help me look at facilities, figure out what would work in a facility, how much it would cost for me to build it out and raise capital from values aligned investors,
mm-hmm.
how much it would cost to do the build out. And we were looking at smaller facilities. Anyway, he later started asking me questions outside the scope of our contract. But it takes an individual to be very conscious, like myself. As a CEO and co-founder, you have to know, is this person helping me? Or are you going fishing today? Are you fishing for more fish? Are you fishing for something? Are you looking for something that I'm not ready to give you? Because he emailed me and asked me, well, you know, I see your ingredients, you have high quality ingredients, but you know, I think I can help you get the cost down. That's not in my contract for you. Mm. And then while he's saying that, he goes, so I need the formulation. Hello. There's a difference between recipe and formulation. Recipe is just, what are the ingredients? I have allergies. I need to know what's in here.
Yeah.
Formulation is what is the quantity? What is the quantity of each of that those ingredients, right? Right.
Basically, how can I make this?
Yes.
How can I make this myself?
Right. Or how can he do it or sell it overseas to China, Japan, wherever?
Guy, how do you know? Let me ask this from our listener's perspective, who's like, okay, Kai is a smart woman who's got like great intuition here. What would you say to our listeners who are like, well, how do I know if somebody's in it for their gain or my gain? How do you suss that out?
Yeah. So the consultant is supposed to ask, what are your needs? Right. Mm-hmm. But if you have an advisor, I would really implore you to meet with a business attorney. That's what I did, to get a contract about what the scope is, like a section A, or what do you call it? Section A of, here's the list of everything that I need support with, and know that what things you're not going to tell them. Tell them, have a realistic conversation and say, I'm not going to give you my formulation. I know you think you may need it, but you don't need it, my formulation.
Not for the scope that we've agreed on.
Exactly. Not for the scope. And that, I think that's, I did a year of law school. It wasn't for me, but I loved contracts because I love that meeting of the mind. So I'm an interdisciplinary person in biology, social work, community activism, food justice, farming, like all these different things. I even worked in a biotech lab, cloning cancer cells. So I'm an interdisciplinary person and I have great intuition. I can tell when people are really trying to help me and support me and when they're trying to take from me. So when they're trying to ask you questions outside the scope or trying to see if they can replicate your product, you need to figure out, why are they asking you that? Yeah. What does it benefit them? And this is another reason why I didn't work with some VCs, because some VCs were saying, Kai, you're giving too much lime flavor. You can reduce your costs if you use the artificial artificial flavors. And they're like, you have all this equipment to process the coconut cream, the fresh coconut cream, and you're heat treating it. But let's give that to a co-packer to do. And I said, no, I'm not going to give them my IP, my intellectual property, and how I do it. I do it differently from everybody doing it on YouTube. You think I'm going to tell them how I do it? No, I know this is what our ancestors have been doing it for, over 1,000 years. And I make culturally relevant ice cream. And I say that because 80% of the world is lactose intolerant, or 85%.
Wow.
And most people can eat coconut cream, coconut milk, And so what I'm making is culturally relevant ice cream. I am not going to show the co-packer how to process my cream. No, I'm the next co-packer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm the next generation. Yes. And I have to literally tell an investor, I'm the next generation co-packer for coconut cream. That's how you need to be looking at me. Because I'm a Black woman, you don't see that. You can't see my greatness. You see my greatness to be exploited by your greed, And so that, I just started running up against all these like VC investors. They saw my talent. They wanted to overlook me, undervalue me, mostly because they knew they couldn't get what they wanted. But also, they say the margins, and I've read this, the margins, profit margin in ice cream is very low. It's 33% profit margin. Mine is much higher than that. But in order to stay like profitable, I'm not profitable yet. I will say this, but I believe I could be profitable if I have my own storefront in a very nice area.
Yeah.
Without the crime.
Yeah. Can we talk about the numbers?
Yeah, we can talk about positive numbers.
Let's talk about positive numbers.
I can talk about the challenges and the positive good numbers that are happening for me at Berkeley Bowl West. Go ahead. Ask me.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell me, I think again, we touched on this a little bit at the beginning, Kai, about shame and secrecy and, how there's just so much that's not talked about or misunderstood in our industry.
Yeah.
And I think talking about numbers and talking about profitability is a big part of that. And so first, I so appreciate you just saying that you're not profitable yet. You've got a path to profitability with this plan of the storefront.
With thank CFO. You. Yes.
Great. Thank you for saying that. But tell me, I want to hear a little bit of numbers bragging from you. What is a number that you're proud of?
Okay, so I sold 200 units of Cuvée to Berkeley Bowl West. And in 28 days, everything was off the shelf. So if I go 200 divided by 28 days, that's 7. let's say that's like 7 units being sold each day average. So my velocity.
That's a lot of non-dairy ice cream.
Yeah. So it's selling. And I attribute that to, like, you know, a lot of things in business are optional. It's not required. Yeah. Like, yeah, for example, sampling is optional, right? Yeah. So the store provides me a space to put on the Kube on the shelf. It provides me with brand visibility, brand recognition, but it's only going to be brand. There's only going to be brand recognition and brand visibility if I'm sampling, right? So I have to sample to get those new customers and then tell all my older customers and repeat customers, hey, you can go to Berkeley Bowl West. And I decided to go to Berkeley Bowl West because I shop there, number one. I love it. And I love all the health conscious folks there, the variety of the greens and veggies that are there. There's just a lot of options. And all my customers were like, can you just get in one store, like a big store? Because we just want to have access to Kube every day. They're like, we really
And so you really... Yeah. You identified your target audience and you identified what was like the prime retailer that makes the most sense, right?
Right.
Again, you're not like pitching to Walgreens. You're not trying to go into, you know,
Sprouts.
Like,
Sprouts came to me.
Target, Sprouts even. Yeah.
Sprouts emailed me. And this is what I want to say. My demand far exceeds our capacity to supply. And what I mean by that is Sprouts came to me. Whole Foods came to me. This is all like a couple years ago. Okay, even Safeway, even like small
I remember
stores.
I remember this.
And then when I learned that Whole Foods will take an 80% profit margin, I'm like, oh, hell no. Nah. That's like economic suicide for a small business. I'm never going to be profitable. And here's the thing. I think after interviewing so many 10 CEOs in dairy and non-dairy ice cream, only 2 were profitable. It's a numbers game. If you can't make 5 to 8,000 units a week, then how are you going to make your 20,000 units a month? You have to make a whole, like, thousands of units to be able to send to so many stores. And then the stores don't pay you for 30 days. But I'm paying my employee every week. So the numbers just don't add up. And so when I met with my CFO, because remember, I believe in coaching. Remember, I believe in talking to people who know more numbers than me. I know numbers. Okay.
Yes.
I took calculus. I took statistics, but that doesn't make me an expert. Okay. So I got to go over the numbers and talk about the story and all this stuff, right? So thank goodness for Wealth Worth and Within, Wealth Worth and Within, Carla Titus. Shout out to Carla Titus. I'll have to give you her information. Are we frozen? I think we're frozen.
Hey, Wizzes. It's Gabby here. As you just heard, we had a tech crash at the end of this little last bit of recording. Thankfully, Ali and Kai were still able to continue recording, but we thought it was a good place to pause. You've got another 40 minutes of Ali and Kai's wisdom coming to you next week on Thursday, March 28th in episode 238. Make sure that you're subscribed on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out on these episodes. You can also sign up for our podcast email list on the left side of the page of our full show notes. So see you next week. Bye.
I want to invite you to join me in my live wholesale success system training on March 26th and 28th. I do this live only a few times a year, so find the free registration link in our show notes and please come join us. If you feel like it's just pure luck if a wholesale buyer opens your sales emails or responds to your pitches or places that first order, it is time for a new way. And then if you do make contact with that buyer, but then you don't hear back or don't know how or when or why or heck, even what to say to get them to finally place you on the shelf, it's time for a new way. And then if you do land on that shelf, but then leave it up to the store or your broker or your distributor who, like, let's be real here, has likely promised you the world, and then you leave it up to them to get your products into shoppers' baskets, it's time for a new way. I want you to stop leaving your sales success in the hands of others. You are responsible for your success, and I know you can do it with a simple system in place. I'm teaching this system on Tuesday, March 26th, and again on Thursday, March 28th. Pick the date that works for you and register for free in our show notes. I am so excited to teach this live twice on Tuesday or Thursday at the end of March, and I hope you'll join us. Find that registration link in our show notes, and I'll see you there. Thanks for listening to Food Biz Wiz. If you're enjoying this podcast and the tools it gives you for growing your packaged product business, please subscribe so you never miss an episode. From one small business owner to another, I am deeply grateful for your support of this podcast, and I appreciate it when you share it with your fellow food founders, share it on social media, or leave me a review on your listening platform. Ready for more? Find out how we can work together at foodbizwiz.com. I'll see you right back here next week.